And before we begin, I just want to say how honored I am to be up here. It is, it's been a while. It's almost like my first time all over again. So I think it was 5 years since the last time I've actually preached a lesson. So I'm honored, I'm humbled, and I know how, you know, important this is. Certainly to my dad, he hates giving up the podium for anybody. So thank you for your sacrifice as well. And thank you to everybody else for your kind attention as we go through it. As we go through some of these things, I do encourage you, I challenge you to follow along. Certainly don't take my word for it. Some things that I may say that you may have questions, feel free to talk to me afterwards. Ephesians 6, most of us are familiar with this. I'm going to begin in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will able to quench all the fiery darts in the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is in the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, I think a lot of us could agree as Christians, we are in a battle. Sometimes it's in season, sometimes it's out of season. Personally, I'd argue that right now, even though things are a little precarious, I would say that right now we're sort of out of season, believe it or not. I know we have a lot of challenges, but we showed up this morning and we didn't have any fear of persecution. Cops weren't here to stop us from coming through the doors. We showed up again at 5 o'clock to have a men's business meeting. No issue there. And we showed up again now, and we're able to worship. We're lucky in this country to have the freedoms. So some of the out-of-season things doesn't mean we're not challenged. There's certainly sins, there's certainly temptations, and Satan is never going to take a day off. And I would argue sometimes out-of-season is a little bit more difficult, because in season, you're certainly challenged to look towards your scripture and truly define what type of Christian you really are. That's what in-season usually does to you. Out of season, it could become boring. Not to say being a Christian's boring, but Satan will find a way to cause us or catch us sleeping, and he will find any which way to get us to fall apart. Now, today I'm not going to talk about basic sin, although we're constantly battled with sin, and sin is always going to be surrounding us. This world is always going to be a part of it, and if we're not careful, just as a basic Christian, we can always fall into that. I don't care if we've been a Christian for 3 decades, 4 decades, 5 decades. Sin can still cause us to get thrown off course if we're not careful. But today I'm going to go dig a little deeper. And sometimes when we do that, we press a little bit. Might make us a little bit uncomfortable. Now I'm going to pause for a second so you know my backgrounds. I've been a strength and conditioning coach for the past 15 plus years. So just so you know, we live by that pain is gain or no pain, no gain. We probably invented the idea of get comfortable and being uncomfortable. But the thing I'll say about Christians, we should live there because people who surround us are always trying to push us off course. Satan does a very good job with that. And sometimes I would say that if we're uncomfortable, maybe it means we're growing. What you'll learn as in the human body, you can't actually get a little bit better unless you're pushing beyond your realm of comfort. And that's what we're going to do a little bit today. If you feel a little uncomfortable based on, oh, maybe that's kind of true, that's probably good for us. I'm going to talk about 3 things, though, and I'm going to go beyond the basics. The title of my lesson is Beyond the Fundamentals of Christianity, and I'm specifically going to talk about fear. Fear is, well, let's break it down. Anxiety is the big brother to worry. Fear is the big brother to all of them. Because once Satan has fear, he has control over us. Fear is technically a lack of confidence. And quite frankly, if we're not confident in Christianity, perhaps we're not reaching on the same side. Think about that word confidence. If we have confidence, you have less fear. Why is that? As a Christian, break down confidence. What's the root word of confidence? Confide. So if we are confiding in God, then guess what? We're going to have the confidence to resist the things that Satan throws our way. But sometimes, and that's easy with a lot of times with certain things that are sins that we can easily resist, Satan will not stop trying to find certain things. And if you're beyond fundamental Christianity, he is going to find the ones that are trickier, like fear. Well, being afraid of things, is that sin? I'm afraid of sharks. I like them, but does it mean I'm going to go to everlasting destruction because I'm afraid of sharks? It's what that fear does. How does it control? And are we allowing that fear to consume us so much to the point where Satan can kind of blow out our wick, or our fire, rather? And think about where our fire is at. We're going to break that down as well. You see, it's pretty interesting, very brilliant on God's point, that he uses the light for us to shine. Not necessarily pounding our chest and being really loud, not blowing our horns and bragging about ourselves, but silence and showing the pathway through our action. So that makes me think a little bit deeper. If I had a candle here and we shut off everything, you would see that light. It would shine. It would be bright. In darkness, everybody's light, regardless of how strong we are as a Christian, regardless of how many years we've been as a Christian, if you do something different in this world, your light will shine across the world in the midst of darkness. But what kind of light is it? Let's say it was a candle. Well, then the simplest wisp across that candle and it blows out, gone. And that tends to be what happens if we're not focusing deeper on our Christianity beyond fundamentals. Because if we're fearful, all Satan has to do is just give us a little wind, give us a little pressure, give us a little discomfort, give us a little hate from society, and suddenly that wind puts us out. Now, think about being an elite Christian, someone who has put themselves through all throughout the world and constantly gone back to God's scriptures, not just to resist rules or follow rules and resist sin, but to resist sin because his life draws us closer to his relationship. So many people talk about, well, it's all these rules. It's rules because our lifestyle demands it to have a better relationship with God. So now we're not just a flame, we're now a wildfire. Now, what does a wildfire do? When you throw wind at a wildfire, it gives it oxygen. So if we truly are a Christian beyond fundamentals, then when Satan throws wind, it just ignites us even more. It burns us up even more so we can live that example and spread across the world. But it all depends on if we're focusing on basics or if we're just still stuck in fundamentals. There's three different fears I want to talk about today. I'll be quick. I'm not going to take up your entire night. The first one is the fear of man. And we're going to break that down in just a minute. The other one's fear of life. And then we're going to finish with fear of death. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, fear of man. To me, this is the beginning stages. I think, and I've seen this with Christians that have been Christians a lot longer than me, the older you get, I've learned, you're less afraid of man. I think just naturally by living life, whether you're a Christian or not, you're less fearful of certain things you used to be because the pressures aren't the same. But it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, and we're going to kind of talk about that. All right, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. It says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." However, we tend to do that, though, don't we? We don't really think about what God can be there for us. We're worried about the surroundings, the short term. But let's follow that with Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. In Proverbs 29 and verse 25, it says, "The fear of man brings a snare, But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Again, let's go back to that trust point. So the more we're trying to build our relationship with God, the more trust, the more confidence we're going to have in following him. But there's this old saying, it's some proverb saying, it's like, which wolf are you feeding? You're always going to be tempted on one side. Then there's the other side where you know this is the right thing to do. Which wolf wins? It's the one we feed. So who are we confiding in to resist whatever thing we're facing? For instance, if I was feeding the wolf of the world, well, guess what? At the moment something happens, then my flickering light on a candle is going to be blown out like a birthday cake. But if I fear God, and that's who I'm feeding, that wolf, and I confide in him, that wind is only going to ignite that fire a little bit brighter. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14. One of these examples that I truly love, because people like to, for whatever reason, bash Peter, and then they don't go into like the rest of his life on how he truly did. Peter shows one of the greatest examples of humans where they start one way and you see where their life goes toward the end. And if you actually see how that breaks down, it's unbelievable how Peter truly turned his life around, which kind of points to everybody. We can do certain things wrong, but it's our response to that. Well, in Matthew chapter 14, it does actually show you where his attitude was at in verse 28. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come, and Peter had come down on the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began sinking. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" Now, for years, I thought about, wow, if Peter has little faith when he's jumping out in the water and he's walking towards Jesus, what does that make me or the rest of the other apostles that didn't jump in after? But the way I read it a little differently, and I take it as not necessarily that he had little faith, the fact that it was the fact that he had short-lived faith. It wasn't the fact that the light wasn't bright for a while. You put it in a bunch of darkness, you probably could see Peter's light. But it was short-lived. Like, Peter, why such short-lived faith? You had the faith to come out here, but the moment there was some problem, you took your mind off of me and you started to sink. Now, I don't know. I have to think about myself, and maybe you can kind of reflect on your life, but how many times have you looked back on your life and you doubted things, you doubted things, you doubted things, and sure enough, God comes around and he still takes care of you. I know I can relate to that. And then I have to look back and be like, man, I have faith. Sometimes it's short-lived. As we build on our Christianity going beyond the fundamentals, that light, not only is it small and bright, but it becomes a lot more resilient, a lot less likely to kind of spread out. And that's kind of the idea where Peter is at. And we'll continue on that story as we go along. Let's go to John in chapter 12. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believe in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." This is where I think even Christians who've been Christians for a long period of time, we could all be victims of this, without even realizing it, we look at our careers, we kind of look around and we look at perhaps loved ones, maybe friends that we've built for years. And suddenly, even though we might feel like we have a staunch, solidified base to stand for the truth, something wrong goes haywire, pushes us off course, or challenges us, and suddenly we kind of ditch our faith. So, you know, even though maybe we're trying to grow as Christians, it could be easy to fall apart. I have to, in order for this to actually make sense, I have to rewind a little bit. And I have to go all the way back to 2020 during COVID. And look, I understand that we had no idea what to expect during COVID. We didn't know what was going to take place. We didn't really understand what it was. And yes, the media loved it. They fear-mongered from channel 2 all the way down to 3,000, whatever channel, how many channels we have. continuing to press on how deadly COVID was. So we're going to have to keep essentials open, and we're going to have to close everybody else down. Now, that includes churches. And before you know it, churches shut down. And let me pause. Because that's, in life, and I can certainly relate to this, 5 years ago, I was furious about that. I took it personally that the Church of Christ, a lot of them, shut down. But I have had to think about it for years in order for me to come to this conclusion. How many times in my life have I looked back and I've been blindsided? Maybe a boss flanks me about something that I meant to get to and I didn't, and I was like, oh, and I was unprepared in front of a meeting, and all of a sudden I crashed and burned and I looked terrible. I fell apart. And I know I'm better than that, but he just caught me off guard. Didn't expect it. So what happens? If you're truly passionate about what it is you do, whatever that is, you go back to the drawing board, you benefit by continuing to study or continuing to improve whatever that skill was, so that way when your boss comes again or whatever the case is, you're prepared for it. My point is, sometimes we make mistakes. It doesn't mean we can't address it, but we have to acknowledge that as perhaps being a mistake. And the reason why I say that is during that time, I traveled coast to coast, LA to Austin, Texas, to New York, to Chicago, St. Louis was another one, even down here in Florida. And during COVID, everybody was shut down that I went to. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers here, and I'm not saying that, I didn't know the circumstances at the time, and I wasn't a member, but they were all shut down. And it's like, well, the government told us to, and I'll get to that in a minute. But at the same time, if we caved that quickly over what turns out to be a sniffly nose, I understand there were some deaths there, but there's death in every case. Truly, where are we as Christians? I understand the Christian fundamentals, that something like that would be enough to scare me and be like, all right, yeah, now's not the time to go to church. But if we're beyond that, think of yourself as an elite force. I actually know, I thought he was a Navy SEAL, it turned out to be Delta Force. Anybody who knows the military, everybody knows the Navy SEALs. So I found this out a couple days ago, so my whole illustration on this kind of caves. But those of you who know military and know Delta Force, I would argue it's just as good, if not more elite in some cases. But what I did learn through the Delta Force, and as you see in the elite force of the Navy SEALs, you expect something different. You expect a different reaction. You expect a stronger mindset, that when turmoil comes, it's like, oh, the SEALs are here, we're good to go. Oh, the special forces, oh, America's here to take care of the day. That's the impression I had with Christians, with my fellow family members, that, oh, everyone's in havoc. Everyone's in fear. Everyone's worried about what's going to happen to their life. But it says, okay, we're good. I'm a Christian. I know we're going to be there. And then I show up to LA. Certainly not. Show up to San Diego at that time. Nope, closed. I'll pause there for a second. The irony is there was a gym that was open because all of the members got together and were willing to pay the fines for them to stay open. Okay, so a gym stayed open. Dallas, Texas, nothing. Austin, Texas, nope. And I'm not saying some of them were, I just didn't see them. And so it made me backpedal a little bit and think about where we truly are in our life as Christians. Now, I digress on that, but I want you to think about it so we can make the point here. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, pretty simple, but it says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And truthfully, let's go back to that, which wolf are we feeding? Let's go back to confidence. If we're confiding in God, that's going to give us the answers as to what we need to do. We ought to obey God rather than men. However, this was thrown in my face, Romans 13 and verse 7, talking about, Romans 13. I didn't talk about 7. We'll go there in a second. But Romans 13, submitting to the government. Now, I'm not going to read all of that, but what I will say is, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm not going to stand here and say that I want us to break rules. I'm not going to stand here and say that we shouldn't pay our taxes. It talks about how God put these people in place that we should respect our governing authorities. Absolutely pay your taxes. Plain and simple. If there's loopholes around it that are legal, take them. But pay the taxes, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. But when it comes to book, chapter, and verse, when it comes to living as a Christian, when it comes to being a Christian of the elite force, that we're going to stand for it and we're a forest fire as opposed to a candle, then regardless of the discomfort, we should stand for it. We should stand against it. Stand for the truth. And next time, hopefully we stay open. Now, I didn't say I appreciate everyone, you know, on the live stream, because I do. I use the live stream. Your live stream here is fantastic. And when I lived in Clearwater, I watched it every evening when I drove back. But some people can't be here physically. And they would love to be within the midst of other Christians. Guaranteed. I know they would. Because you see these people, and suddenly they can't come anymore, so they come on the live stream just to be somewhat of a part of it. But if you can physically be here, and your response is, well, it's easier for me to just sit back and watch it on the television, you're forgetting the point of what being a Christian, at least from an elite status, really means. Being a Christian is not about me. It's not about my ideas and my ideals and my health and my sanity. Truly, if we're trying to grow, it's about what we can do for others. It's about how we can be an example towards somebody else. And your presence within the midst of people, that inspires somebody. And we have to believe that as Christians if we're going beyond fundamentals. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a crowd person. I don't know if you guys noticed that. But if that was true, if the Bible just said, you know, hey, you just kind of, you can just be a part of it from sitting on your kayak, you know, in the Gulf and watching it from there. Great, I'd love to do that. But that's just about me then. What am I doing for you? How am I encouraging you if I'm not there? How are you encouraging others if you're not here? We should want it. And by the way, the only way to make a light brighter is coming together physically. That is a physical responsibility, a physical demand if we want to be a part of it. Now, if we are still part of fundamental Christianity, maybe we don't see it that way, I'm just challenging you a little bit and pushing a little harder that hopefully one day you'll see that. And if there's ever a case where COVID ever happens or something like COVID, I hope that we can learn from that past and say it doesn't matter what the government does. Maybe we should be like that gym and come together and basically say, okay, we'll pay the fines. I've already started my own slush fund for that. So let's not be afraid, because that's how this country will try to punish us, is through finance. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. I digress on the fear of man. To me, that's the easy one. Oh, this was actually, Bob talked about this in our preacher's class today. I sat in the back and just kind of smiled about it. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, we're familiar with, most of us are familiar with this one. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to jump down a little bit. But in verse, lost my train. In verse 14, we're dropping down into verse 20. Nope, strike that. It's the wrong verse. Nope, I'm just on the wrong passage. All right, here we go. Verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one who gave 5 talents, the other 2, and the other 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on the journey." Now let's cut over, and basically let's go to verse 25. In verse 25 it says, verse 24 it says, "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground, and look, there you have what is yours.' But the Lord answered to him and said, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at coming I would have received back my own interest.'" There's a, you know, we work with some baseball players, and it's interesting because there's no book out there that says how not to strike out. Because you know what the best way to not strike out is? Don't go up to bat. Every time you step up to the plate, you're risking a strikeout. Every time you step up to the plate, you're risking embarrassing yourself. You're risking taking a loss. Every time you play against something, every time you face the world, every time Satan is there, every time you face your family who doesn't agree with you spiritually, you're risking a loss. So if that's the case, it's super easy to just come worship here and go home and not try anything. Never challenge ourselves, never focus on our talents, and just kind of stay within the fundamentals of Christianity and try to be unseen. That's the easy thing. But that's if we truly want to grow beyond the fundamentals of Christianity, we have to risk failing. In fact, it's imperative that we push ourselves to where it hurts, because that hurts inspires growth. That's muscularity. That's the same with anything in the world. The more discomfort we put ourselves through something, the more we learn or often take out of it. And I will tell you this, in Christianity, sometimes we're going to fail. Sometimes we're going to fall short. And you see examples where that happens all the time. Peter failed numerous times, fell short, denied Jesus 3 times. He could have given up right there. That's like 3 strikeouts. That's strike 3. He didn't quit. There's no strike 3 as a Christian. We can strike out as many times as we want, as long as we continue getting back up and we focus of what truly is important. My dad brought this up as an illustration. It was Lou Holtz, the Notre Dame coach, years ago, and he talked about winning. If you took win, it's what's important now. And the best way to win is to understand what truly is important in the situation that you're faced. That way, when there's chaos all around us and everybody else is basically losing their minds because of fear-mongering, we are able to zero back in and think, wait a minute, what's important now? Where's my spirituality? Where's my relationship with God? Where's my relationship with other Christians? Am I doing what's right? And as long as I am, okay, then we can take the strikeouts. And I would argue that you would strike out less so long as we continue to focus on that goal. So we have to go up to bat. And sometimes that's going to risk some failures. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." This one's big to me because, it's not just about not sinning. To me, that's the part that literally should be a little easier as we try to grow. Because our goal at some point is to consider, how do I get a closer relationship with God? And suddenly we forget about what not to do, and we start to focus on what makes me stronger. What gives me a better relationship with Jesus and other Christians? What do I need to do to take my abilities to the next level? You know, it's easy to say, but sometimes I think we congratulate ourselves just because we go through the day and like, I didn't sin today. Okay, what do we do, though, to grow closer? In the moment there's turmoil, how are we reacting? One more passage on this, and then we're going to go to our next point. In Joshua chapter 1. Now, Joshua is an interesting one because, you know, he goes through kind of circumstances where he recognized that wisdom was important. He prayed for wisdom. He knew he could get it from God. He trusted God. He had faith in God. He confided in God. And, you know, as a result, God basically rewarded him. But here's God reminding what's going on. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Wherever you go. So I would almost argue, even a shark attack, while it might be scary, at least you know, if you're living as an elite Christian ought to, and you're living for God, that shark attack's only taking you to heaven. We recognize as Christians that beyond the death portion, there's a life. Death is victory for us. We talk about it all the time. We always go to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to touch on it. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians 1, though. In Philippians 1, because it brings us to the next point, the fear of death. So we go up to bat, constantly striking out, but then we start to get stronger. The more we learn how not to strike out by trying, the better we get as a Christian. Well, Philippians gives us a good indication of how we need to focus where our life is going in the future. Now, one thing I'll say about Paul, the more I learn about his life, the more I can see why he was constantly focusing on death, because he had such a hard life. He even says it in Philippians, boy, it would be nice to go, and my dad always says this, I go to my reward. He doesn't say it like that, but he's focused on it. But then he stops and he says, but being with you is much more needful. Now, I'm paraphrasing it, but it's within this book. That's Paul's mindset, that he knew, even though it seemed so good to be there, someday he's going to be there, but right now, our mission is still here. And that is my challenge to you. And I don't mean this, I mean this in the utmost respect. I'm 46 years old, and I know that's young to some people, but I'm getting older, okay? We talked about something before. The last time I did preach, this gives you an idea of like how rusty I am, and maybe it's obvious. I didn't need glasses. So this is weird for me to have to hold around glasses. 5 years later, here we go. And I know that goes faster, and I know people who are older than me will say, yeah, enjoy 45. I wish I could be 45 again. I get it. I understand the older I get, the more I start to realize. But one thing I'll say about this group. You guys show up. Time and again. In pain, on crutches, on a walker, wheelchair. How shameful for the young people who have the ability to show up and they think they should stay at home and just watch it online. And again, those who can't make it, I understand. But if you can make it, that should hurt inside. If you're watching online and you know you can make it, I hope that hurts. Because it should. If you truly care, you should want to be here. You should want to be inspired by people through this congregation who have been through life, who have faced certain things, and yet, you know what? They still have the vigor of life saying, I'm still alive. I'm still walking. I'm still happy. How can you be happy in all that pain? Because the focus, to me, that's a Christian that's gone beyond fundamentals. And for that, I thank you. Because that inspires me. I haven't seen it in a while. I honestly haven't. I've been critical because when I see a group close and another group close and then something, oh, a little bit of turmoil, we should probably stay home. Suddenly that creates some anger in me because I'm thinking, what have I studied all these years? We're going to quit that easily? This was said in class this morning. And forgive me, I'm going to mess it up a little bit, but Daryl made a point where it's the more you invest in something, the harder it's going to be to surrender. That couldn't be truer as a Christian. Because if we put our heart and soul in something, why would we want to quit? This world isn't strong enough to put us out if we have that wildfire. It truly isn't. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm not saying we have a death wish. I'm saying we have a life wish. Because death is just basically the beginning of our life. That's what it is. That's what death is saying for a Christian. Is that the moment we die, if we lived our life, guess where we're going in the long run? When judgment comes, it all pays off. That's being an elite Christian. That's going beyond fundamentals. And we should all desire it. If we have the breath of life to live year after year as a Christian, what a blessing for us. It's not a punishment. Oh, all the sin. Oh, we've got to resist this. I can't do this. I can't do that. Really? But you could be with God. He takes away anxiety. He takes away fear. I've seen things in my life literally disappear. The moment I started to pray correctly, understanding that prayer brings me closer to God. Let's go to Philippians in chapter 4. I talked way too much. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your patience. I forgot how much I enjoy it up here. So I hope you got something out of it as we close. And, you know, I hope we can challenge one another continually. I appreciate being here and specifically being able to have an opportunity to preach in front of people of like mind. In Philippians chapter 4, you know, this one's interesting because I think you read it and you read it and you read it and, you know, it truly is meditating on certain things. But there's something in here that resonated with me for the past 5 years. And I'll get to that. I'm going to skip verse 7 for now. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Cool, right? But that wasn't the point. Let's go up to verse 7. What is the God of peace? The God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The God of peace surpasses all understanding. That means when somebody looks at us who's not a Christian and is like, how can you be excited for your loved one who passed away while you're still having tears? Because it's a God of peace that surpasses all understanding. How can you have a good attitude when you're in pain or you're struggling to get here and you're barely walking, but for whatever reason, you still go with that church group? Because the God of peace surpasses all understanding. We're not supposed to understand it because it's God's power. A Christian beyond fundamentals understands it. And I think that's why it resonates with us. And I think that's why men don't scare us. I think that's why certain threats and certain fear-mongering, we don't really ascribe to that nonsense because we know there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear when God is in our life. Not truly. Sometimes we'll have some anxieties. Guess what? Anxieties are basically Satan's little weaponry. They like that. So Satan loves it. Oh, you got a little anxiety? Let me push a little harder. I'm going to prove to you that you're going to fall. And then he gets us to fear more and more. Kick that out. Understand that no matter what happens, God's going to be there for us. It's peace, inner peace, that surpasses all understanding. And I didn't stress this before, but it's peace among chaos. And we can have that. Even if you're a young Christian, you don't have to be older to go beyond fundamentals. One more passage, and then the lesson's yours. We're going to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. This one kind of says everything, kind of with an exclamation point on, first off, how loving, how patient God has been, certainly in my life. And truthfully, how powerful God can be in our lives if we're trying to build a relationship closer to Him. And sometimes it's easy to forget that when we're surrounded by the world. That makes Satan excited because it's the only way. Misdirection is the only way Satan is going to be able to get his hands on a Christian who has invested so much of their life. But we only get there as long as we have our relationship with God. Before we read this, you know, most of the people here are probably Christians, probably longer than me. Some may not be a Christian. And the thing is, whether you're a Christian or not, we're all in a race. The question is, what race are you running? What light are you shining? What's the purpose of life? Truly, what is your passion if you're not a Christian? I mean that sincerely because I've seen a lot of my passions physically come and go. You think things are great and suddenly they kind of let you down. One of these days, it's way too much time. I'm not going to share a story. But you'll look back over the years and think all that time and energy you invested in something physically, and it was all for naught, all vanity. Kind of like what Solomon says. I'm starting to agree with him more and more. Vanity. But if you're a Christian, there's a reason to go on. If you're a Christian, there's a purpose of life. If you're trying to get closer to God, there's a reason for you to exist. There's talents out there for you to make an impact and for your light not just to shine, but to be resilient against wind, resilient against pushing of the world, resilient against other temptations that Satan throws at us, and not only resilient, but spreads like wildfire. If you're a Christian, sometimes we get pushed off course. I know I've made mistakes. I know that if you look back, you wish you could get those mistakes back. The mistakes hurt. Losses hurt way more than wins. I think I won a lot of matches when I was wrestling. The reason why I say that is I always think about my losses every time I'm watching my nephew. Losses sting. You never forget them. I never got over losing. I don't think I should. As a Christian, we shouldn't either. Because that way, we keep reminding ourselves, where did that loss come from? And what it means is, we still care. We still care about what hurts. And we know that God is going to be there for us in the end. And our opportunity to come forward, our opportunity to make our life right, our opportunity to either be a Christian and get in the race for real and let your light so shine, or be a stronger light. In verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with all also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died? And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing. Pause there. Nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing. That means whatever comes forward, oh, is AI going to take over the world? Well, guess what? That's a created thing. Nope. God is still in charge. Any other created thing. I'm going to read it again. Nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Where are we? Where is our light? Where is our passion? If we have love for God, we're always going to be willing to go and step front and risk striking out, risk a loss. But truthfully, if God's on our side and our relationship is there, we're not losing. God doesn't lose. He will not lose. He will not let you lose as long as you keep him close in your life as we stand and sing.